I was so filled with this desperate desire to know that my sins would be forgiven, to know that I would be in heaven when I die.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin.
And I'm Rich, Rich Homeris. We're continuing our visit with Joe Jackowitz as he shares his testimony of how a Jewish boy from Brooklyn joined the Marines and through various circumstances found himself in a quandary regarding his relationship with God. We left off with Joe madly driving away from the base and parked alongside of the road, lamenting before the Lord.
Still driving, parked on the side of the road with only two things. I said, I believe in God, but I'm not going to bring my presuppositions or preconceived ideas about God to this place I'm at now where I need to find the truth about God once and for all. So I said in prayer, I said, God, I'm just going to pray to you. Whoever you are, whoever it is, whoever she is, I know you're out there. Whoever you are, you're out there somewhere. You could be a rock, you could be a wood, you could, whatever you are, I know you're there. So I began to pray to him. And I kept praying day in and day out for seven straight days. God, show me the truth. Show me the truth. Day and night. It was like an obsession. I was so filled with this desperate desire to know that my sins would be forgiven, to know that I would be in heaven when I die. And I just kept praying to the God, my creator. I didn't assume it was the God of the Jews. I didn't leave Judaism, but I didn't assume the God of the Jews was the true God. I came objectively and open-minded to God. I cast away all my former ideas about God and just started from scratch and didn't impose my own former ideas about God on him anymore. I said, whoever you are, reveal the truth to me and I'll believe it. And I didn't think that I was a good judge of what was truth. And I wasn't about to start a search religion by religion. That could last 100 years, 1,000 years, and I still could never find the truth. Within Christianity alone, there are hundreds of denominations. If I had 10 lifetimes, I wouldn't necessarily find the truth if I just went organization by organization. So I took a shortcut. I went directly to God, and I encourage people to do that instead of getting discouraged and turned off by trying to find God through religion, organized religion. Go directly to God. I did.
You know, the scriptures tell us to do that in Isaiah, the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, verse 6. The Lord says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he was near to you.
Right. And call upon him directly. And if God is who he says he is, he can speak for himself.
Yes, so beginning that moment when I was sitting in the car for the next week, day and night, every waking moment that I had a chance to pray, I called upon him and I kept repeating it over and over and over again. It wasn't a mantra, it wasn't a formula, but it was heartfelt and sincere. Show me the truth, God, and I'll believe it. Show me the truth. But God, I want you to give me proof, full proof evidence that it is the truth. Because as a Jew, many Jews are very streetwise and they're discriminating and they look underneath the rug. And I really wanted to make sure that when God showed it to me and I believed by faith that he would show me the truth, because he doesn't play games with us, he doesn't tease us, that he would show it to me. So day and night I'm praying. I was so desperate to find the truth. For example, I was a rifle instructor, and that particular week I had a class of 300 hardened Marines before me, and while I was teaching them classes about how to shoot their rifle, while I was speaking in front of those 300 Marines, I was praying at the same time, God, show me the truth. It was amazing. I was so desperate. During lunch that day, I went out to my car. I didn't even eat lunch. I just laid on the front seat of my car, locked the door, drove to a private place where I could pray. And when I was done praying, or actually crying, because I cried the whole time, weeping, I took this little bottle of Visine to clear the redness out of my eyes so these Marines wouldn't think while I'm teaching classes that, who is this lunatic? But I took that bottle of Visine out to take the redness out from my tears of repentance. and my godly sorrow seeking the Lord.
The brokenness that Job found himself in is the very place where our Lord will make himself known. As Psalm 51 verse 17 says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And we'll return to Job's story in just a moment, so stay with us.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. Just go to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, that's all one word, and Bobby is BOBBI.com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby.com. There, all of our podcasts are posted, along with all of our contact information.
Also, you can connect with us on social media by friending us on Facebook, post on Instagram, or tweet us on Twitter. Now, let's return to Joe Jackowitz to hear what happened to him next. Would God answer his prayer?
After a whole week, one day, in our job, we were assigned in pairs of instructors to teach a class for that two-week period. And my partner that week was the Mormon, Jericho, Sergeant Jericho. So he was talking with another Marine, trying to help that Marine with something. And so I walked up on their conversation because I had to talk with Jericho about work. And they were talking, Jericho and this Marine. And I didn't want to be rude, so I was just waiting for their conversation to finish. And I couldn't help but overhear what they were talking about. In that conversation, this other Marine was trying to persuade Jericho that God is a Trinity. And I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. How'd they get on this conversation? We're here to train and practice our shooting positions. And I was listening to the conversation, and this 19-year-old Christian corporal was explaining to Jericho that God is a Trinity. And Jericho was the very one who told me that God is plural, the us and the our of Genesis 1:26, but he did not have a correct understanding of the Trinity. And this other Christian was trying to help him out. And suddenly, Jericho says to this 19-year-old Christian, he says, look, don't tell me this stuff about the Trinity. At least I believe in Jesus Christ. Tell him. And he points to me standing there. He's a Jew. He doesn't even believe in the Trinity. And then Jericho walks away, leaving me standing there with this 19-year-old baby Christian. His name was Bob Price. He had only been saved for 8 months.
Wow.
And I'm just about to walk away and follow Jericho because, you know, I wasn't there to talk about religion. I had forgotten temporarily about my prayer, you know, God show me the truth, right? So I didn't want to be rude. So I said to the Marine, I said, look, Bob, I said, you show me in the Old Testament where Jesus is God and I'll believe it. The one question I chose, which I felt would be the hardest question I could ask him that he could not possibly prove.
And that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Is Jesus God?
And this was the young Christian.
This was the young Christian, 19 years old, 8 months as a believer. So he says, okay, you got a minute? And I'm like, oh boy. So here's another one with a pocket Bible. He takes his Bible out of his pocket, but this time a Christian takes his Bible out of his pocket. And the only reason why I asked him that question, I didn't mean a word that I said. I was facetious. I was not sincere. I just wanted to get rid of this young man and go back to what I was doing with this Sergeant Jericho. So he took me to a lot of messianic passages. He took me to Isaiah 7 and verse 14, where we read, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give Israel a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And I thought to myself, wow, I mean, where did that come from? I went to Hebrew school for many years, but I never saw that before in the Bible. And he shows me, and I'll never forget, he used his finger and he insisted on showing me these verses in my own Bible. And remember, I prayed to the Lord and I said, God, give me full proof evidence of the truth when you show me the truth. And I could not argue with my own Bible, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament the 39 books of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And then he took me to Isaiah 9:6, where we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son, capital S, is given. And they shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I couldn't believe it. They're going to call the Son, who I didn't even think was in the Old Testament, the second person of the Trinity. They're going to call his name the Prince of Peace, which I heard that term thrown around as a Jew among the Gentiles. And then he took me to Isaiah chapter 53, which is a gospel in itself, where we read amazing things about the Messiah. And my understanding of the role of the Messiah was completely changed at that time, because I thought the Messiah was to come as some military king or dictator to destroy the Romans and the Arabs and all of the enemies of the Jews and set up some physical kingdom on earth with the Messiah on the throne to rule with an iron fist. But he showed me in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Messiah is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And so I'm listening to these words, and my heart is soaking in these truths. And suddenly a light bulb went on. And it was like a voice from heaven, not an audible voice, but a voice from heaven said to me, "Joe, you've been praying to me all week long to show you the truth, and now I'm showing you the truth about Jesus, about the Messiah, that he is Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and he came, and you've been blind all these years, but I'm opening your eyes now and showing you that Jesus is the Messiah of the Jews as well as the Savior of the Gentiles."
And when the truth comes to you, you know it, don't you? If the Lord is opening your eyes.
Yes, I knew that God had answered my prayer. But I had so many other questions, and I was still even more confused.
An amazing answer to prayer. And we'll pick up from there on our next podcast, as we continue with how our Lord was beginning to remove the veil of darkness and make himself known to Joe. So be sure to join us then and spread the word by inviting others to listen in as well. Also, if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Joe and his work at First Love Ministries, and as a pastor, just go to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, all one word and Bobby spelt with an I, .com. And click on Program Insights. That's Program Insights at ConnectionsWithRichAndBobby.com.
Now, you've been listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on this platform or any of the others like iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. If you have a smart speaker, you can listen by simply saying, "Play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby." And you can connect with us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So please do take a moment to let us know about you. And we'd love to hear any feedback about what you've heard on our podcasts.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word, God's word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.